There's a lot of demand put on school lunches. Teachers want it to nourish kids, so they're ready to learn in the afternoon. Government agencies require it to be inexpensive, so taxes don't increase. And more, people are concerned with the nutritional value of the food because of the national childhood obesity epidemic. Lunch is really important, and there's a lot of pressure to get it right, and a lot of that falls on food service directors.
We went to two very different school districts to hear from the leaders who are making those decisions. They create menus and order food from suppliers, and they have to make sure kids are actually eating the food.
I'm Sarah Schneider, and I went to Mount Lebanon School District.
And I'm Oliver Morrison, and I spent time with the people who feed the 24,000 students in Pittsburgh Public Schools.
PPS is responsible for feeding roughly 20,000 more students than Mount Lebanon. And in Mount Lebanon, 10% of students qualify for free or reduced lunch.
But in Pittsburgh, the number is much higher, at 65%.
Lunch in both districts looks pretty similar in the elementary schools. Students are given a pre-portioned meal. But those meals start to look different when you get to high school. Mount Lebanon has one high school with nearly 1,800 students. It's a food court style, and senior twin sisters Katie and Amy Jackson say the lines are often long.
We have a salad bar, pizza bar, there's chicken patties, pre-made salads and sandwiches on like one side or like throughout. And you'll see pretty much everyone gets different things.
And then there's the burger bar.
Our chef makes really good turkey burgers, but they're fantastic.
That's Nolan Fetchko, the food service director for the district. He's been there about 7 months. And a lot of what has been established in the district, like avoiding fried foods, the fries are baked, and the food court style, was there before he arrived. But what we found to be similar between Mount Lebanon and the Pittsburgh Public Schools is that ultimately, older students make the decisions. So they try and offer many options.
Child wants to eat chicken nuggets and french fries every day, they can eat chicken nuggets and french fries every day because we offer it, but it's not the only thing on the menus.
He says you have to give kids what they want because at the end of the day, the goal is to get them to eat.
Now, both districts follow the National School Lunch Program, which has been around since the 1940s. They only get reimbursed for meals that meet the requirements. That means they have to be healthy, so students have to get a fruit or a vegetable with their meatball hoagies.
All of the options are healthy. All of them have to be. So there isn't any such thing as an option that isn't healthy.
That's Curtistine Walker, the director of food services at PPS. In 2012, school food changed. The government said it had to be healthier. The wheat had to be whole and the fries couldn't be fried. She said at first kids complained and now they've gotten used to it. That doesn't mean they'll eat just anything. The district tried a lasagna a few years ago and it didn't take. So Elizabeth Fisher, the nutritionist at PPS, says they often introduce new foods slowly as an alternative to the main meal.
If we spend a ton of money on really healthy products, that sounds great, but if not a single kid eats it, then it's not nutritional at all.
What these school nutritionists know is you can't just sprinkle kale on the pizza and hope for the best. They're constantly evaluating what students like and are eating. Both schools serve whole wheat crust pizza. It's still pizza with lots of cheese, but it fits federal guidelines. Meeting those guidelines is important to PPS because their meals are heavily subsidized by the government. In fact, so many of PPS students qualify for free meals that the district serves its lunches for free for all of its students. Mount Lebanon schools have more flexibility. That's because more students in affluent districts pay for meals. Fetchko says that doesn't necessarily impact quality, but rather quantity of options. They have a tiered payment system. So a premium meal, like a slice of barbecue chicken pizza, costs about a dollar more than a standard meal.
I'm not disparaging any other district's meals. They're serving good food too, but it just allows us more freedom. So there are other districts where you're looking at 90 cents for a serving of buffalo chicken tenders. That might be out of their price range because they're charging $2.75 for the meal and you're already cutting into a third of their meal price with that one serving of buffalo chicken tenders. And that's not accounting for vegetables, fruit, milk, or anything else in that meal.
Big districts like Pittsburgh save a lot of money by buying pre-made food like chicken nuggets. It doesn't take much equipment to heat them up. They also save money on staff. Low-skilled workers can use the oven, so they can pay most of them part-time, hourly wages without benefits. Still, Pittsburgh has plans to improve the quality of its food by making more of it from scratch. They recently installed three giant 100-gallon kettles, so now they'll be able to make more of their own chili and their own macaroni and cheese. That means they can take out some of the salt and preservatives that come in pre-made food. And they say it also tells a better story to the community that they made it themselves. But who is responsible for creating healthy eating habits? Is it the school? Here's Pittsburgh's Food Services Director, Curtis Dean Walker.
When it comes down to the obesity issue, the bottom line is this. What they are consuming outside of school meals, it's what's making them obese. It's not the school meals that's making them obese.
Actually, Walker says part of the issue in Pittsburgh is a staffing shortage. Cafeteria workers act almost like salespeople. They're supposed to encourage students to choose vegetables and fruits as they go through a line. But it's hard to make that pitch with hundreds of students to serve and only a couple workers.
Every year, Pittsburgh invites food companies to share their new recipes. Then the heads of each school's cafeteria vote on the ones they like. This year, for the first time, the district let a handful of students vote. There was a surprise hit, according to Obama Academy junior Isaac Conway.
The falafel was very good, and that is something that we could kind of add to the menu to balance out that added fat.
The district isn't going to thrust falafel on its students all at once, but in April it will show up in a salad with some homemade tahini dressing made from its new kettles. But whether that falafel returns next year, well, that will depend on the students. I'm Oliver Morrison for Public Source.
And I'm Sarah Schneider for 90.5 WESA News.